This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I am at the Cattle Industry Summer Conference in Florida. It's a little bit hot here, and I'm with Scott George, who's actually from Cody, Wyoming. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
So, Scott, how is this weather compared to Wyoming these days?
Oh, this is hot and very muggy. Great more moisture here and humidity than I am used to.
Well, I've seen everybody running around, and I'm going to say it's not affecting your work by any means. And you were actually a vice president of NCBA. And, you know, Scott, I want to talk about a couple things. You know, I think there's some perception among producers, because oftentimes this is what takes precedent, that you're sort of a defensive organization and you're always trying to dispel myths and work on policy. But the reality is that you're not only defensive, but you're extremely offensive. You have a plethora of services for producers. It relates to nutrition and how to care for your herd and financial, how to manage your finances and things like that. But Scott, let's talk off, because we are here at this conference and you are doing a lot in committees and policies. What have been some of those things that you've really been focusing on?
Well, from the defensive portion, we're looking at ag policy, a lot of ag policy issues. Some of those are trade issues. We've been trying to get the South Korean Free Trade Agreement, Panama Free Trade Agreement, and Colombian Free Trade Agreement passed for nearly 6 years now. They've been hanging on the fence, and they have tremendous opportunity for our beef producers. If we could get those approved, we could start exporting product to those countries. That would help our producers. CattleFax has projected it would add another $25 per head to our producers if we could get those exports. Right now, CattleFax, which is an ag tracking industry organization, estimates that exports are adding $189 to the head of the value of every fed cattle coming out of the feed yards today. And if we could add another $25, it would sure help those feed yard producers as well as the cow-calf producers to be remain profitable. So that's one issue. Some of the other issues we're working on are defense of the industry as regarding to EPA overreach problems. The EPA has decided to grant themselves the right to regulate all water in the United States, which is a huge property rights issue as well as states' right issue, because it threatens states' water right laws as well as a personal property right laws. And so we've been trying to get that reined in. Congress did not grant them that authority, and they've just kind of written it in their guidelines. So we're dealing with that one. We're dealing with GPSA again. Again, this was an issue that was supposed to address the inequities in the poultry and pork industry. And in Congress, as they debated these things, there were amendments offered that would have affected the cattle industry. They were defeated because we went and brought forward the information and said, this is how it will impact us. And the legislators took it back. But the USDA in the GPSA area went ahead and wrote them in, even though they'd already been defeated in the legislative process. And so we're trying to defend that and trying to get that turned back. So those are some of the big issues we're fighting. Dust regulations, trying to regulate dust, trying to make producers keep track of their greenhouse gas emissions. These are just regulations that add more and more and more cost to a producer and don't give any value to him. We want to have a clean environment. We're probably the greatest stewards in the country with our production. And so we're doing a lot of work on those issues and having follow-up on those discussions.
Well, Scott, let's touch on some of the other things you're doing. I mean, you're doing some great work on the positive side, and I think, you know, we need to spend some time talking about what that is so producers realize that you're really a full-service association. You just don't focus on one area.
That's correct. NCBA is a contractor to the checkoff. We bring forward proposals to the operating committee of projects to address specific concerns in the industry. For example, we are bringing forward, and we have done some projects, tracking consumer desires. What drives them to the meat case? What drives them away? Trying to identify the issues we need to work with. We've also done a lot of work as a contractor, again, with checkoff dollars, on beef safety issues, trying to make sure the consumer is reassured that the product they're buying is safe. We're also doing a lot of work on nutrition. Nobody is out there singing the praises of beef except us. Well, us as an industry. And so we do a lot of contract work, again, as a contractor, gaining information and facts about nutrition. At that point, then we have to have that go to the policy arm. When you go to Washington, we've gone there and testified on behalf of keeping meat in the school lunch programs, defending against meatless Mondays that some people are advocating, because we're saying, wait, our checkoff work shows right here that beef has a great nutrition package, is very helpful and very health helpful to the children, and they need that. So we're working in those areas as well, defending against a lot of the issues that are coming forward. Some of the big ones that we're finding right now are consumers are concerned about sustainability and about how is the beef produced and how we're handling our animals, animal welfare issues. We're doing a lot of work in those areas as well for the benefit of the entire industry. These things are not specific to NCBA. They are specific to cattle producers as a whole, and they benefit from them. So we're doing an offensive work, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's offense, as in a football game offense, in our checkoff work that we do these proposals with. And then we're also doing the defensive work, which is membership work, paid for by membership dollars, and trying to defend our way to do business and defend our way of life.
Well, Scott, one of the things that I want to touch on for a minute is, you know, over time, not only have businesses become more efficient, but the cattle is larger, it's producing more meat, the meat is actually healthier than it used to be 100 years ago. And as we're looking to feed a global population, I don't think the story is getting out about what American ranchers can do to actually help provide protein to people around the world. So let's touch a little bit on what you are doing, in fact, to help supply protein globally.
Okay, that's a great question. A lot of what our ranchers, our cow-calf producers do is convert forage into protein. Our cattle can graze on lands that you can't do anything else with. You can't crop them, you can't grow crops. They grow grass. And so we're actually harvesting sunshine when we put our cattle on those grasses, and they actually help the environment by keeping the grasses healthy and pushing the seeds in the ground. So they're very, very agreeable animals to the environment. We also have become very, very efficient using modern technology and modern practices. Our producers today use better genetics suited for the environment that they're in. In the South, you have the different breeds of cattle than you have in the North, because some of the southern cattle cannot survive the northern climates, and vice versa. And so we're using genetics as a major tool. We're using better nutrition. We work really hard to make sure that our cattle can eat the proper things so that they have the nutrition to live a healthy life. We want them to be healthy. And then we also are using better management. And so our cattle are getting better and better. We're producing more and more pounds of beef with less and less input. Also, they're growing to maturity at a faster rate so that we're able to end their life cycle a little sooner so that they're not on the earth that long. But anyway, this all in all, we've done an environmental impact study on this that shows that the cattle producers are absolutely doing some of the greatest environmental work in the world in converting sunlight into food that's healthy and helpful for people.
Great. So, Scott, you know, we talked touched on a lot of things, but circling back to the fact we are at the conference here, what's next for you in particular?
Here at the conference, our grassroots producers, our cow-calf producers, our feeders, are telling us what the issues are that they are facing and what action we need to take. And we take our direction directly, we as leaders of NCBA, take our direction from the grassroots people. And so as they come out of their committees, which are meeting this right as we speak, they will be telling us where we need to be looking as far as what defensive work is and what offensive work we need to do. And so we're looking for them to give us the direction that we need to go.
Great. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you for having me.